Pastor Steve Ware with Tabernacle Baptist Church is a special friend of the Farleys and of this ministry, and many of you have met him before. He has a really long history with the ministry there in Sierra Leone and Pastor Solomon, and I've asked Pastor Steve if he would come and introduce the ministry, and then we're going to hear a little later on from Pastor Solomon.
Thank you. I love you, Pastor. When you get tired of him, you send him back to West Colonial Drive. I'll take him. Well, I don't really care about him, but I love his wife.
Amen.
And the children, Patrick, God bless you. I wish you all nothing but the happiness. And the children don't know me except for that guy down yonder. And But I admire them, and I appreciate the Farley family. And I appreciate Open Door. Hard for me to believe that you all are 40 years of age. I remember when you all began. For I've been in Tabernacle for 42 years. And Brother Steve Miller, I don't know how many of you go back that far, but Brother Miller was he was in Bible college there and a good friend, and helped at the beginning of the ministry. And so I thank you all. Thank you for your faithfulness. I'm thankful for your testimony.
Amen.
And you have a wonderful testimony.
Amen.
And it's amazing to me the people I come in contact with that you have touched. And I praise God for that. That's a wonderful thing. I appreciate your heart for missions. And you all have a great heart for missions.
Amen.
And Dr. Stewart and Brother Farley have made sure that you all had that heart. You have followed in their leadership. And we, Tabernacle Baptist Church, back in 1986... we began to work with national pastors. And really our first national pastors that we began to work with were in India. And I saw the great value in that. And so we have been working with these men in foreign countries, and believing that we could take the nationals that are there who are accustomed to the culture. They know what the climate's like. Sister Matilda, God bless her, she's freezing to death right now. And they understand the climate. They understand the culture. They get sick. They get better. If mom and dad get sick, they try to tend to them. If mom and dad die, they bury them, and they keep on with the ministry. And so I do not say anything disparagingly against American missionaries. Thank God for them. They're out of our church as well, and we support them. And I've got people in my church right now are saying maybe the Lord would have us to go to a foreign field, and I will encourage that. But the fact that we can take a national and put a little bit of money into their ministry to help them a little bit, and they do the work. I have been to countries, and Sierra Leone is one of those. I've been to countries that I've said the best thing that we as Americans can do is stay out of their way. Because we go and we teach them things, and it stifles them just a little bit. They have the Bible. I was in India one year, and I said, how do you know about baptism? I said, how do you all baptize? And they looked at me kind of strange, and they said, water? And I said, no, I mean, how do you baptize? And they didn't know what I was asking. And I said, do you go to the river and you put people in the water? And they said, yes. And I said, how do you know to do that? They said, the Bible says it.
Amen.
And I said, that's good enough for me. And so a lot of times when we take our American theology, we ruin sometimes, or we hamper some of the nationals. But a number of years ago, I had the privilege of meeting a gentleman from Sierra Leone, West Africa. His name was Max Gorby, and what a great blessing he was to me, and really touched my heart, and did something special in my life, and invited me to come to Sierra Leone, West Africa, and to see the work that was taking place. And it was a great joy for me to be able to do that. It was something that took place in my heart and my life that changed my life, and I will never be the same because of that visit. There were some things that took place. I've heard stories about God moving. I have heard stories about people getting saved. And I've heard those stories. But to go and experience the power of God, if God did that every time I stood behind the pulpit, I would not handle it. I would die. But God moved in such a way, and I saw some things, and I said, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. And so we became part of World Evangelistic Outreach, WEO. And we became a part of it by giving some contributions to it, helping build some buildings. And over the past 30 plus years, that ministry has grown. Max Gorvey went home to be with the Lord a few years ago, and his son took over the ministry of World Evangelistic Outreach International. And his son is with us tonight, and his name is Solomon Max Gorvey, and you'll hear from him. And his dear wife, Matilda. This is the first time that Matilda has been to America. Now, I love it when folks come to America. I like being the first. Solomon invited me to Africa, and we went to a little village called Sindibuyan. And in that little village, we met with the chieftain of that district. And he told me, if he lied, he was lying. I'm not lying. He told me, he said, you're the first man to be allowed to preach the gospel in this village. And I said, I love being the first. I love being the first. And what a great blessing that was for me to be able to preach in that village. There's a church started there now, and Solomon is hoping to be able to soon have a Christian school in that village, and wonderful things. But that was a blessing. Matilda came. And I said, Matilda, have you ever ate a Krispy Kreme donut? I gave Matilda her first Krispy Kreme donut off of the rack while it was still warm. Several years ago, Solomon was here, and I said, Solomon, we're going to go to Steak and Shake, and we're going to get a hamburger and a milkshake. And I said, what flavor milkshake you want? He said, I don't want a milkshake, Pastor. I said, no milkshake, Pastor. I drink a Coke. Drink a milkshake. I drink a Coke, Pastor. So one night after being out doing all the things that we were doing, I said, let's go by and let's get us a milkshake. And he said, no, Pastor, I don't want a milkshake. I'll drink a Coke. And so I asked him several times, let's go get a milkshake. No, he didn't want a milkshake. Now, his father loved ice cream, and every night that Brother Max Gorvey was here, he always had to have ice cream before he went to bed. But his son's not that way. And I could not get him to drink a milkshake. We were flying home, and we had been in a meeting together up north. And so in the airport, Pastor, what does this have to do with missions? Nothing. And we were in the airport, and Solomon was going to Philadelphia, and I was coming to Orlando, and our flights were a little bit different in time. And so we were sitting there at the gate, and we were having our conversation, saying our goodbyes, and there was a milkshake kiosk. And I said, Solomon, let's go to get a milkshake. No, Pastor, no milkshake. And so we walk over there, and I said, give me two small milkshakes, vanilla. And I forced him to have a milkshake. We went over and sat down at the gate. We drank our milkshake, and I hugged his neck and told him goodbye. He said, Pastor, could I get another milkshake? He went and got a milkshake. He got a grande milkshake. I was teasing him with this story in Africa a couple of years later, and he is laughing. And he said, you do not know the rest of the story. And I said, what is the rest of the story? He said, after you left, I went and got another milkshake. He didn't know what a milkshake was. And when I introduced him to the milkshake, I introduced Matilda to her first milkshake. this week. And she likes the milkshake. They do things a little bit different there from what we do. There's things that they don't have knowledge of, the same as we don't have knowledge of what they're doing there. But they're serving the same God that we're serving. They're preaching the same gospel that we're preaching. They're holding the same Bible that we hold. And many of the people in Africa may be undereducated or uneducated and may not be able to read the King James, the English Bible. They may not be able to sing out of the hymnals because they cannot read the English words. But they love God and they're doing a work for God. So to introduce to you Solomon Max Gorby, I want to show you a little video, and the audio is not real good on it, but I think you can see and understand what is taking place in Sierra Leone. And this video is a few years old, three years old. So there's more work that has been developed. But go ahead, gentlemen.
I'd like to share with you a portion of our work in Africa.
Please pray for us that God will continue to bless His work and our labor to the glory of God.
World evangelistic outreach has been a part of West Africa since 1994, and to date, there have been 30 churches, 13 schools, a Bible college, and two children homes organized in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Ghana. The purpose of the ministry is to preach the gospel and to establish churches throughout these countries. We share the gospel in many different locations and many different ways, building facilities to teach young people and to worship our Lord. Churches are built and dedicated unto Him. And they are used for multi-purposes. Not only a place to worship Him, but also a place to educate young people. Disciple them and train leaders to direct the ministries. Part of our training is done by veteran pastors, professors, evangelists, and missionaries from the United States. These men who have surrendered, serve, and are growing spiritually or ordained to continue to serve and lead and some pastor local churches. churches, we attempt to establish schools for the children. Most schools in Sierra Leone are Muslim-based, and the children are disciplined if they miss school on Sundays. Our schools give them an opportunity to go and receive a Christian education from the youngest right through high school. This gives a wonderful opportunity for Christian parents to be able to see their children grow up in the nurture, admonition, and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Orphanages that have been established in Liberia and in Sierra Leone help get the children off the streets and to care for them physically, socially, and spiritually. Would you join in and pray about this work? Would you pray for the pastors and their wives, the teachers and the leaders, and the service of our Lord Jesus Christ? They're in Sierra Leone, West Africa, Liberia, and Ghana.
This is not my ministry. This is World Evangelistic Outreach Ministry, which was founded by Dr. David Gibbs. But it is Solomon Gorby's ministry in Sierra Leone. And so it's my privilege to be able to introduce to you Brother Solomon Gorby, Evangelist Solomon Gorby, and pastor of the name of the church. Do you all, we just call it Soldier Street. World Evangelistic Outreach Baptist Church, Soldier Street. And so we just refer to it as Soldier Street. But he's doing a great work. Solomon, give us a little update before you preach to us, okay? The number of churches.
Thank you so much for allowing us to come. We want to thank God for your lives, and we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to share with you. Done like 3 years ago, by the special grace of God, so much has been done with the work in Africa. Currently, as I speak, to the glory of God, it is the Lord's doing. We have 35 local churches in Sierra Leone, 16 Christian schools in Sierra Leone, a Bible college in Sierra Leone, and also an orphanage in Sierra Leone. Now, a neighboring country that was colonized by USA, of course, we were colonized by Britain, Liberia. We have 7 local churches in Liberia, 4 Christian schools, plus an orphanage in Liberia. And we've also started work in Ghana. We've also started work in Guinea. Guinea is a French-speaking country. Once I go back, we'll be sending somebody to Ivory Coast. He'll be going this October to Ivory Coast. And we've also started work in Nigeria. We're grateful for all what God is doing. And, most of the times I know that people come and say this is what God is doing, but it is very important. We always appreciate that when we come, we always extend invitation to people to come and see for themselves what God is doing. Because if somebody is praying for a work or giving towards a work, it is very important for somebody to go and see the reports that we give, if it is true. Dr. Steve has been in the country several times, and he has been a blessing to what God is doing. I want to take this time to personally extend our invitation. In February 2025, the ministry will be 30 years in Sierra Leone. Amen. And for us, it is a very big celebration. And so as I go around, I extend invitations to churches who are praying for the work. At least the church can send one person you know, to go and see, be a part of the conference. It's always a huge conference. Bring pastors together and church workers together and try to travel the person around. You'll be well cared for, you'll be taken care of, and you'll come back safe to your country. My wife does a pretty good job cooking for all our guests, and Dr. Steve will tell you. So you're welcome, and thank you so much for allowing us to come. And Pastor, we appreciate you so much, and thank you so much for giving us the opportunity. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we please take our Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, even as we listen to God's word briefly tonight. Philippians chapter 4, I believe it's a very familiar passage of scripture to all of us in this place, but I want to use the next few minutes to remind us and encourage us tonight from God's word. Amen?
Amen.
There are times as Christians, it's very important for us to be encouraged. And I believe as a child of God, the only place where we find encouragement is in the word of God. Amen? It's in the word of God. Philippians 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. A very popular scripture. The word of God says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." It is very clear that the epistle of Philippians was written by the apostle Paul, and he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi. And of course, he wrote this letter, he established this church during one of his missionary journeys. Now, the main theme of the epistle of Philippians is about the Christian experience. You know, sometimes people think that because they are Christians or because they have given their lives to Jesus, that difficulties will not come. Of course, I do not know about this country, but in Africa, we hear so much of the prosperity message going on. And people think that because you have trusted Christ, because you have received Him as Lord and Savior, you will not face trials. You will not face difficulties. I always say to them, that is a wrong gospel. It is not true. Amen? It is not true. You know, even though you may have trusted Christ, even though you may be faithful in the house of God, committed in the house of God, but yet still, there are times you go through problems. Now, what makes the difference between the believer and the unbeliever, or the believer who goes through trials and temptations, is your attitude in those trials. Amen? And so tonight, briefly from God's word, we'll be speaking on the subject, the reasons for rejoicing. Amen? Shall we please bow our heads and pray? Father in heaven, we pray that you bless your word to our hearts this morning. May your name be praised in all these things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 4 verse 4, our text says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Now, it is true that sometimes when we go through hard times in life, we tend to doubt the God that we serve. Or sometimes we think that He's not hearing our cry or He's not listening to us. I have seen people go through trials over and over and over again. Yes, they are Christians. They come to church. They are committed in their services. They give tithes and offering in the church. They help in the things of God. They are committed to missions. But yet still, they go through hard times. And sometimes you think that, why am I doing all these things? Why am I faced with all these circumstances? The Apostle Paul tried to encourage the church in Philippi. And that is what the word of God is doing for you and I tonight, encouraging us that we should rejoice in God always, in spite of whatever we're going through in this life. There are five simple reasons in Philippians chapter 4 I want to share with you briefly tonight. Why, as Christians, we must rejoice in God always, no matter what. The very first one is found in Philippians 4, verse 6. And I want us to read that together after two counts. One, two, the word of God says what? "Be careful for nothing." It says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving," it says what? "Let your requests be made known unto God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why must we rejoice in God? We must rejoice in God always because we have a prayer that settles. We have a prayer that settles. The Bible says, it says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It says, but they are mighty through God. It says, through the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the weapon that we are talking about is prayer. The Bible says, no matter what you are going through, no matter the hard time, no matter the circumstance, we are supposed to rejoice in God always, in spite of the difficult times, simply because we have a prayer that settles. Now, most of the times, Christians think that when we go before God in prayer, it is always going to be yes. But we have to understand that God answers prayer three ways. Sometimes God can say yes, sometimes he can say no, and sometimes he can say wait. Our God is sovereign. Amen? And so we don't question him. He chooses to do what he pleases to do. If he says yes, it's an answer. If he says no, it's an answer. If he says wait, it's an answer. But we have to understand, the Bible says in everything, it says by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, it says, let our requests be made known unto God. So we must rejoice in God always, in spite of what we're going through as Christians or as believers. Simply because, firstly, we have a what? We have a prayer that settles. Amen? Now, secondly, we see the second reason in verse 7. And I want us to read that together after two counts. 1, 2, it says what? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it says, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Not only as Christians, we have a prayer that settles, but also we have a peace that sustains. The Bible says, and the peace of God, not the peace of man, not the peace of this world. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus is our peace. And sometimes we think that we can find peace in other things. We don't find peace in any other thing. We only find peace in Jesus. Amen. That was why before he left the face of the earth, he said to his disciples, he says, peace I leave with you. He said, my peace I give to you. He says, not as the world gives do I give unto you. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. So the Bible wants you and I to understand that in spite of what we're going through, in spite of the difficult circumstances in this world, in spite of the hard times, in spite of the sickness, yet still as Christians, we must not allow the joy of the Lord to be stolen away from our hearts. Amen? We should always rejoice in this God because we have a prayer that settles and also we have a peace that sustains. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It is my prayer here tonight that God's peace will continue to rule our hearts in the name of Jesus. In every difficult circumstance, may we find peace. May we find peace. May we find peace. The Apostle Paul encouraged the church, and that is what the Word of God is doing here tonight. And he encouraged the church with the third reason, and that is found in Philippians 4, 11 and 12. When you go home, read the entire chapter, Philippians 4. It's an awesome chapter, 11 and 12. And I want us to read that together after two counts, Philippians 4, 11 and 12. And we see the third reason. 1, 2, the Word of God says what? Not that I speak in respect of want. It says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and both to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The Apostle Paul says, firstly, we must rejoice because we have a prayer that settles. He also said we must rejoice because we have a peace that sustains. But now he said to the church, and the Word of God is saying to us that in spite of whatever we are going through, we must rejoice because we have a position that satisfies. We have a position that satisfies. He says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, there are times we think that, well, things are not going well. So, you don't even have joy in serving God. I'm believing God for this thing. It has not worked. I've been believing God for this. And trusting God to get a new car. I'm trusting God, you know, to have a family. You know, a lot of things we're believing God for. It seems as if those things are not working. And sometimes the joy in serving God, we lose that joy in serving God. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, he says, therewith to be content. See, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and both to be hungry, both to abound and both to suffer need. What I will say to you, church, tonight is that our physical position is not important. What is important is our spiritual position. Amen. So rejoice in God. You have a position that satisfies because you have trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior. No matter what you are going through on the face of the earth, it's just temporal. It's just temporal. It's temporal. When we go and be with the Lord, all those pains, all those trials, all those sorrows, all those difficulties will be over. They will not be there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why must you rejoice? Remember, you have a prayer that settles. You have a peace that sustains. You have a position that satisfies. The Apostle Paul tried to advance the fourth reason to the church in Philippi. And that is what the Word of God is doing for us here tonight. And the fourth reason is found in Philippians 4, verse 13. And I want us to read that together after two counts. One, two. The Word of God says what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Fourthly, it says, you have a power that strengthens. You have a prayer that settles. You have a peace that sustains. You have a position that satisfies. But also, you have a power that strengthens. You've trusted in Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. You're on your way to heaven. The Holy Spirit is living in the inside of you. That is the strength that we have. That is able to keep us through the difficulties. That is able to keep us through the pains. That is able to keep us through the hard times. People think that by becoming a Christian, everything will be a bed of roses. No, that is not true. The Bible says, when thou passeth through the waters, when thou passeth through the fire. The Bible did not say if. The Bible says when. That is to let you and I understand that there will come a time when you go through hard times and bitterness. If you've never gone through it, that is wonderful. I'm not praying for anybody to go through difficult times. But the Bible says, when thou passeth. In the midst of those circumstances, in the midst of those challenges, that is when the joy of the Lord, that is when the joy of the Lord should be seen in our hearts. Amen? That is when we must rejoice in God. Our attitude during those difficult times, that's what makes the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Apostle Paul now advanced the final reason why he was encouraging the church to rejoice in Philippians chapter 4. And the last reason is found in verse 18 and 19 as I bring this to a close tonight. And we'll read verse 18 and 19 together after two counts. One, two. The Word of God says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which we are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So the Apostle Paul told the church, rejoice in the Lord always. Why must you rejoice? The fifth reason, you must rejoice in God always because you have a provider that supplies. You have a provider that supplies. My God shall supply all your needs. Now listen to this, church. God did not say he will supply our wants. because there's a difference between our wants and our needs. But he promised to supply our needs. He promised to supply our needs. I believe the Apostle Paul understood that there are times difficulties will come. In fact, he faced difficulties himself, even though he was somebody who was persecuting the church. But then when he received, you know, Christ, when he had the encounter with the Lord Jesus, he went through difficulties. Imagine somebody who was afflicting problems over the church. He was the same person now who was faced with difficulties, you know, under those circumstances. But his attitude in the midst of those difficulties was that of rejoicing. And sometimes when we think that God is far away from us, and we think that, oh, I'm going through this pain, I'm suffering, I'm going through these hard times, and sometimes it kills our joy in serving God. My prayer here for us tonight is that God will give us the grace that his joy continue to be our strength. Amen. In spite of what you're going through, in spite of the experiences, may we keep serving this God. May we keep loving this God. May we be devoted to him and have an attitude of rejoicing as we serve God. Remember, we must rejoice in God always. Firstly, we have a prayer that settles. We have a peace that sustains. We have a position that satisfies. We have a power that strengthens. And we have a provider that supplies. Shall we please bow our head as we pray tonight?
Father, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we come to you, Lord. We know that each one of us, many times this is the easiest promise for us to forget. We have so much from you. We have so many reasons to rejoice, yet, Lord, we take our eyes off of you. As Peter looked at the waves around him crashing, and he forgot that you were the one calling him to walk on the water. We forget the power that you've bestowed to your children to have all of these needs met in sometimes very glorious ways. I thank you for Pastor Solomon and what he has shared with us tonight, but I call upon you, Lord, to work in our hearts that as we have heard this message tonight, we want to take this into our own hearts. We want to have that victory in Christ. We want to stand there as victors and do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we need to keep our eyes upon you, Lord. We need to rejoice and overcome these trials and have our attitude corrected by keeping our eyes on you. We praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, as we close this time in the Word, I pray that you would just allow us to pause just a moment and to settle this in our hearts. And I pray that if one here has a need, that you would speak to their hearts and allow them, Father, to use this time to your glory. We pray all these things, and we ask it in the glorious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Please stand together. I'm going to ask George to come and Amanda, and I'd like for us to sing an invitation hymn. We're going to have communion in just a moment, but I'd like for us to sing a song together. I would like for us to sing Victory in Jesus. And if you all know the words, you don't need to get your hymnal out. And so let's all stand and sing Victory in Jesus together.
We have those lyrics up there for you. Hold on so you don't have to get your hymn books out. It's number 596.
Came his life on Calvary to save.
want one or just all?
Just one.
Oh, okay. You may be seated.
You may be seated.
I want to thank Pastor Solomon and Pastor Steve and Miss Matilda. You pray for them because they are taking off after today. They're going to head, Pastor Steve, did you say Kentucky?
Yeah.
To the IFFB meeting, the International Fellowship of Fundamental Baptists. And there'll be a whole bunch of churches and pastors and people there. And so it's going to be a really great place for Pastor Solomon to share his ministry. So you pray for them as they're on the road. Do be generous at the receptacle as our service closes. Every dollar that we collect, of course, we're going to pass along to Pastor Solomon, and that'll be a blessing to their ministry. Amen?